Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. I'm Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about how to deal with the legacy of Francoism. Spanish dictator Francisco Franco died on the 20th of November 1975. 45 years on from his death, questions over how to deal with the past are more relevant than ever. As part of Spain's transition to democracy, a pact was made, the Pact of Forgetting. But more and more people in Catalonia and Spain argue now that it's time to remember. To remember especially those victims of the Francoist regime. Today in Filling the Sink, we're discussing some of the issues around what is referred to here as historical memory. Coming up later, an interview with Carlos Vallejo, who himself was tortured by Francoist police. And joining me now, Catalan News journalists, Christina Tomás-White and Alan Reith-Turall. Why are we talking about these issues now?
Well, I think we are living in a kind of historic times. You know, we had the economic crisis some years ago, independence bid in Catalonia. So I think that in these historical times, it's when we really look back and re-examine the other historic moments that shaped our current present. So I think this is one of the reasons, perhaps, while it seems like so urgent now to look back at something that happened more than 40 years ago and ask ourselves, like, did it all like really go well? Are there mistakes that we made that we should probably have done like in a different way? I think this is probably one of the reasons.
I also think why not do it now? Because maybe perhaps at the time after Franco died and during the transition, there is a fear of maybe if we didn't accept the Pact of Forgetting or if we didn't try to move forward, that maybe we wouldn't become a democracy. But now that many years later, we know that we are a democracy, although some people might argue otherwise, we are firmly a democracy. So why not address it now?
Before we get into more detail, it's probably a good idea to have some historical context to the issues we're talking about. Luckily, Alan has prepared a very brief overview that does exactly that.
The Spanish Civil War broke out in 1936 following a military coup against the left-leaning Popular Front government of the Second Spanish Republic. On one side were the Francoist or nationalist insurgents, comprising right-wing traditionalists, monarchists, the Catholic Church, and other conservative groups. They had military support from Mussolini's Italy and Hitler's Germany. On the other side were the Republicans, a coalition of the Popular Front, anarchists, communists, unions, some Catalan and Basque parties, and the International Brigades. The war ended in 1939 with victory for the Francoists. Their leader, Francisco Franco, ruled Spain by dictatorship for almost four decades. But the violence did not end with the war. Opponents of the Francoist regime were regularly imprisoned, tortured, and executed. In 1940, the Catalan president during the war, Lluís Companys, was arrested in exile in France by Nazi occupation forces who extradited him to Spain. Companys was executed by firing squad at Montjuïc Castle in October 1940. What followed were years of post-war poverty and devastation, with the regime eventually opening up the economy and finding a way in to the international arena, joining Western countries in the Cold War. Franco died an old man in his bed in 1975, which marked the beginning of the transition to democracy. Free elections were held, the Spanish constitution was passed, and amnesty laws freed political prisoners and allowed exiles to come home. In return, it guaranteed impunity for those who had committed crimes. This uneasy truce between left and right and the political decision to ignore atrocities committed under Francoism has become known as the Pact of Forgetting.
So a decision was made to forget, but in recent years there's been growing opposition to that decision. In 2007, Spain passed a historical memory law.
That was passed under the Zapatero government. One of the things that was able to change thanks to that law was that a lot of street names that still were named after, for example, fascist generals or Francoist generals were changed.
But of course, after 40 years of dictatorship, like, there's so much work to be done. And actually, there have been repeated calls from the United Nations to pursue reparations. And one of the problems, as many of the reports have noted, is that people are dying. Like, if you want to track, like, the people in mass graves and see who are their living relatives, like, these people are getting old, they are dying, so you need to act act quickly. And it's a sad paradox because, like, in historical memory, it's important, like, to move quickly. Otherwise, it can be too late.
I mean, there are countless number of families have stories of parents or grandparents that disappeared. There's also accounts of children being taken away from parents.
Yeah, I have many friends who don't know where their relatives are, who are still looking for their grandparents. Mm-hmm. But probably the most famous person whose remains haven't been located is Spanish poet Federico García Lorca from Granada.
There have been quite a few attempts to find his remains, which have all been unsuccessful.
And the Catalan government made some moves in 2017 to nullify sentences that were passed during the Franco regime.
So apparently that was one of the Catalan left party's main complaints about the Spanish historical memory law in 2007, that it didn't repeal the sentences, which also would have included the execution of Lluís Companys, the Catalan president, during the Spanish Civil War.
And it's actually something that might be made official soon. We'll come to that a little bit later on. Cristina, during the week you went to speak to Carlos Vallejo, a former political prisoner. Let's listen to how you got on.
I was a bit nervous walking up to Carlos's office, located in a majestic old building in the center of Barcelona. I mean, how exactly are you supposed to talk to someone you don't know about the worst thing that has ever happened to them? But Carlos, a man on a mission, went straight to business, describing it as his duty to inform people of what happened to him and countless others. Not for nothing is he the president of the Association of Former Political Prisoners of Francoism. Born in 1950 to parents who were on the losing side of the Spanish Civil War, Carlos was very much aware of the dictatorship's suppression of dissent from a young age.
Soc fill de perdedors de la guerra.
At age 20, he began working for SEAT, Spain's largest car manufacturer, where he became involved in a clandestine trade union. Not even a year on the job, he was detained and tortured for 20 days straight at a police station on Via Laietana, which still exists to this day. He was then sent to the infamous La Model prison, which, incidentally, is right in front of our office. Some of our colleagues' windows overlook the now-reformed building, and while its appearance has been somewhat softened with colorful murals and the like, its still-standing structure hints at a much darker past. Despite being sent to solitary confinement for a month for participating in a hunger strike, Carlos described being in prison as a relief because there was no quote-unquote direct torture. Released 6 months later before being arrested then released again, Carlos chose to flee first to France and then to Italy rather than risk spending 20 years behind bars. He was able to return to Barcelona a year after Franco's death thanks to a partial amnesty for political dissidents. But the official policy of forgetting the past was the price Spain paid for its transition to democracy. Nobody has ever been brought to justice for these crimes, and in fact, the man who tortured Carlos, Genuino Navales, was even promoted. As fate would have it, the Historical Memory Association Carlos presides over is actually on the same street he was tortured on 50 years earlier.
Nostra és trencar aquest silenci.
In line with his association's demands, Carlos is adamant that the past must be remembered. It's the only way of preventing this from happening again, he says.
Many thanks to Carlos Vallejo. On my way here today to record this, I passed La Model and I noticed that the graffiti on the side alongside one of the towers said Memoria, which I thought was really apt, knowing that we were going to hear this story from Carlos Vallejo. What was it like talking to him, Cristina?
No, it was really interesting. And it was such a shame that we can only include a few minutes of the entire conversation because I could have spent an entire afternoon with him talking about his experiences. It was really a pleasure to talk to him.
In September, the Spanish cabinet agreed on the text of a Democratic Memory Act, which they're going to bring to Congress, which is kind of, I suppose, an update on the law that we mentioned that was passed in 2007, but goes a lot further. And one of the things it includes is, for example, changes to how Francoism is taught in schools.
Yeah, that was a really important point that Carlos brought up. One of the things that he didn't understand is why, for example, why are students learning about the Middle Ages and they don't even know what happened in their own country even 50 years ago?
Actually, some years ago, I interviewed a man who was 97 at the time, I think, who fought in the Spanish Civil War when he was 16 alongside his father, I think. And one of the things he mentioned is how mad he was at the fact that some children didn't even know who Franco was. And he had written a book about his own story. I think he even gave some speeches like in front of classrooms to share his story. So he made like an actual effort, and he really find like meaning in this effort, like making sure that people remembered what happened, because that's part of his life. That was part of his life. I don't know if
he's that actually sounds a lot like Carles. I mean, even though he didn't fight in the Spanish Civil War, he was definitely, he suffered at the hands of Francoism many years later. And he told us it is difficult to walk down Via Laietana in front of the police station where he was tortured, but he still does it, and he makes an effort to do it because he thinks it's very important for people to know what happened.
Other issues that still need to be addressed are things like identifying all of these mass graves. They're building a DNA bank so that the remains can be identified with surviving relatives. And of course, there's a huge contrast compared to the burial that Franco received. And in fact, last year, his remains were removed from this huge monument in the Valley of the Fallen.
The Valle de los Caídos.
Yeah. It was quite strange as someone from outside of here completely to see on the television the coverage. It was almost had the trappings of like a state funeral, flowers and supporters, and that was quite a surprise for me.
Right. I mean, it was very contentious because there are people that obviously want him out of who wanted him out of the mausoleum and were happy to see him go, but then at the same time were upset that he was being treated like a state hero, while at the same time there's so many people that are still in mass graves. And then on the other hand, you'd have far-right supporters that were against him being exhumed at all.
And the rise of the far right is probably another reason that people give as to why these issues should be looked at today.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, the less that it is talked about, the easier it is for the far right to come in with their historical revisionism and use the past to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. And we see the far right saying in Congress that the current government, the left-wing government, is the worst in 80 years, thus implying that they believe the Franco's regime is better than the current government.
This is something that Vox said in Parliament just recently.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also the issue of Franco's symbols still standing. Some years ago, we saw many of the symbols removed from public spaces, but there's still like this giant statue standing in Tortosa, which shows that just like a war, I think historical memory has so many fronts. There's like finding the people whose remains were lost, removing from public spaces all the symbols, passing laws to undo what the previous regime did. But I think it's important to note, as Carles Vallejo and Miquel Morera, who I interviewed some years ago, mentioned, the first thing is to figure out like what the truth is, because this the first step of historical memory, like remembering what happened.
Tortosa, of course, a city in the south of Catalonia where one of the biggest battles of the Spanish Civil War took place.
Yeah, my grandfather was actually in that battle. Although family lore has it that he wasn't an active fighter because he was a bit cowardly, so he served as a cook.
I'm sure he wasn't the only one. There are so many issues to unpack around historical memory, and I'm sure it's a theme that we'll be coming back to again and again on Filling the Sink in the months ahead. Every week we bring you a new Catalan phrase. This week, Alan, you've got one for us. It's not a saying as such.
No, I couldn't come up with any saying related to memory or history, but what came to my mind was the introductory quote in the memoir that Miquel Morera, who I previously mentioned, and that he wrote himself for his book. And it was something like, aquell que recorda el passat i valora el present mereix el futur, which could be translated as the person who knows the past and appreciates the present deserves the future, which is not an actual Catalan saying, but I think it's a good quote to end this program.
And that's all we've time for today. Thanks again to Carles Vallejo. Thanks to you, Christina. Thanks to you, Alan. And thanks to you for listening. Next week, the podcast is on some football team that you may or may not have heard of, FC Barcelona. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, bye for now. Adieu.
We recorded that podcast on Thursday the 19th of November, and as if to highlight just how current these issues are, the very next day the Catalan government announced that next summer they plan to remove the monument in Tortosa, which commemorates the nationalists' win in the Battle of the Ebre. Not only that, on the same day, the 45th anniversary of Franco's death, the Catalan civic group Omnium Cultural called on Spanish President Pedro Sánchez to transform the police station on Via Laietana, where Carlos Vallejo and many others were tortured, into a space for remembrance. So, as I said, I've no doubt we'll be returning to these themes again in the future on Filling the Sink.